Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Story Shop. I'm Princess Timalpa.
And I'm Aunt Sally.
You know, Aunt Sally, I've been reading the Greek myths lately, and I wanted to share some of them with our listeners.
Ooh, that should be exciting. Weren't there gods and goddesses, heroes and heroines?
Ah, yes, and lots of mysterious things happened, like gods changing their shapes at will.
I remember. They could be human if they wanted to, or turn themselves into animals, or trees, or anything.
That's right. Our first story is about a lad named Narcissus. Let's listen. Long, long ago, there lived an old man named Tiresias. He was known throughout the land as a wise, wise man who could see into the future. Many people came to him to find out what the future held for them. One such person was Liriope, a water nymph. She had given birth to a child who was so beautiful that all who saw him were drawn to his great beauty.
Tiresias, please tell me, if my child Narcissus will live to be an old man?
You ask the kind of question only the gods should ask. Never mind. I'll answer it. I knew your mother. I promised I would watch over her daughter for her and any offspring she had.
Oh, thank you, Tiresias. And now, what is your answer?
Well, Narcissus will live to a ripe old age. If he never knows himself.
Never knows himself? Wait, Tiresias. Don't leave. Oh, dear, he's gone. What a strange response. What could he mean? It all sounds so silly.
The years slipped by, and Narcissus was as beautiful at 16 as he had been as a small child. People continued to be drawn to him, boys and girls, young and old, but Narcissus spurned them all. No one dared touch him or come too close. If they did, he would dash into the forest where he loved to go and hunt. One day, while he was driving deer into his net, he was seen by a wood nymph named Echo. This was at a time when Echo still had a body and was not merely a voice as she is now. Though she liked chattering better than anything in the world, she could not start a conversation herself, but could only answer the words she had last heard. When Echo saw Narcissus roaming through the forest, she followed him in secret, unable to let him out of her sight. He was the finest lad she had ever seen, and she longed to be able to call out to him, to tell him what was in her heart. Oh, but alas, Echo could only look. Quite by chance, Narcissus lost sight of his companions and called out,
"Hello! Is anyone there?"
This gave Echo the chance she had been waiting for, and she echoed, Narcissus looked about in wonderment, then called out even louder,
"If you can hear me, come to me."
"Come to me."
Narcissus looked behind him and all around, but could see no one coming. More perplexed than ever, he called out,
"Why do you run from me?
Why do you run from me?
Let us get together."
This was the invitation that Echo had been waiting for. As she ran out of the woods, arms ready to fling around his neck, she repeated,
"Let us get together."
"Hey, get your hands off me."
"Keep your hands off me."
"Don't touch me. I'd die before I'd let you hold me."
"I'd die before I'd let you hold me."
And that was the last that Echo was ever seen. Ashamed and embarrassed at having her love spurned, she raced deeper into the forest. Lovesick, she fretted and pined for her beloved Narcissus until her body shriveled up and only her voice remained. She hides in the woods, and though no one sees her, they can all hear her at times when their voices are echoed back at them. Now, Echo was not the only one who was frustrated by Narcissus. There were many others whom he rejected. Finally, one such youth raised his hands to heaven and prayed,
"May Narcissus one day love someone himself and not win over the creature whom he loves."
Nemesis, the goddess of vengeance, heard the youth, whose prayer she agreed to answer. Before long, Narcissus wandered to the edge of a pool. It was so still that the surface glimmered like silver, and grass grew all around it, green from the nearby water and protected from the sun. The pool had never been visited before, not by shepherds or goats or cattle or bird or beast or falling leaf. Warm from the heat of hunting, Narcissus threw himself onto the ground by the pool, hung over the edge, and began to drink from it.
"I've never tasted such water. It must have been blessed by the gods. Who is that staring back at me from the pool? I've never seen anyone so splendid, and must get to know him better. Look, as I approach, so does he. But when I draw back, he does also. He's like a Greek god, his smooth cheeks and slender neck, and the eyes like twin stars. How could anyone resist such a face?"
Narcissus spent the afternoon trying to touch the image in the pool, to speak with it, but always it eluded him. He dipped his arms into the water, hoping to embrace the boy he saw, but met only emptiness. The eyes in the reflection mocked and teased him, and the image forever was beyond his grasp, for what he had fallen in love with was himself. He was so overpowered by this new feeling of love that he could not think of food or rest or anything that would make him leave his place by the pool. He stretched himself out on the grass, watching the image, constantly unsatisfied, almost drowning in his own watching eyes. Then he rose, lifted his arms to the surrounding trees, and cried out to the forest,
"I beseech you, what love has ever been so cruel? You woods should know. You have given many lovers places to meet and hide in. Through all the years, has there ever been anyone who has pined away as I do? I love this creature in the pool, but I can't seem to find him. To make it worse, all that parts us is a thin film of water. Yet I still cannot reach him. When I lean towards him, he rises to meet me. He is as eager as I am."
Once again, Narcissus turned to the image in the pool and pleaded,
"Why do you tease me so? Where do you go when I'm reaching out for you? Surely I'm not so old and ugly that I scare you. Others have been in love with me, many others. Look, you reach out your arms when I do. Your smile follows mine. I've seen your tears when I'm tearful. Your lips seem to answer when I'm talking, though what you say I cannot hear. Oh, no! I know the truth at last. He is myself. I burn with love for my own self. And now my sorrow sucks all my strength away. I know I don't have long to live. I'm sorry only that the person I love must die, that we die together."
Narcissus turned away from the image in the water, the body that Echo had loved losing all its strength and comeliness. Though still angry with Narcissus, she was sorry for him now. And when Narcissus cried out,
"Alas!"
she too cried out,
"Alas!"
And when Narcissus cried out his last words,
"Farewell, dear boy, beloved in vain,"
Echo called the same words to him,
"Farewell, dear boy, beloved in vain."
When Narcissus's mother sought his body, in its place she found a flower with a yellow center surrounded with white petals, and remembered Tiresias's words,
"Narcissus will live to a ripe old age if he never knows himself."
What a sad story, Princess Tamalpa.
I know, but at least he was able to love, if only briefly.
That's true. Are all the Greek myths so tragic?
Well, not all of them, Aunt Sally, but most of them deal with transformations of some kind, like with Narcissus being turned into a flower, so that death wasn't such a final, awful thing for them.
I hadn't thought of that.